Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Cheeseburger in paradise.
The only lines you really learned. Everything else is like church singing.
You just have to mouth the sounds.
Yes. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. And, of course, happy Saturday to all of you in the room. It's a little bit of a full house. I'm looking at my buddy Steve Silva across from me.
That's right, I'm right over here.
Yes, you are. Look at you. Look at you. You just don't give your red shirt and everything. It's so good. And I'm looking at a female.
I am too.
Hello.
This is awesome. Now, we are going to introduce her in a little bit. So, but in the meantime, right now, I see Steve. I see me. This is your Weekly Dose podcast.
And I'm surprised we started on time. That's pretty good. I like it. Okay, we thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
Oh, that's right, guys. Laughing is the things that we experience in everyday life. You know, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and get to join the conversation and interact. And you can do that in several ways. One is by commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. We got a big show for you guys today. We're going to do some catching up. We're introducing somebody to the family now. We'll be interviewing Mr. Eliah Kossoff. I believe that's how you pronounce his first name. He is the CEO of Leaf Brands. And because they are now making a cookie that went away and it's coming back, and we're going to be talking about that. We'll also be remembering Norm MacDonald. It's also Talk Like a Pirate Day and the top dance crazes that we have gone that we've gone through here in the U.S.
Now, you can download our past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
That's right, guys. And, of course, today's theme song was Cheeseburger in Paradise by the great Jimmy Buffett, mainly because it is National Cheeseburger Day. So that's the reason why we chose that theme for
a I've good been craving a cheeseburger lately.
There's nothing like
a
good
while.
Burger, period.
That's
nice,
right.
Thick meat. All that grease dripping off and
lots of mayonnaise.
Oh, and ketchup.
Mustard.
A1 steak sauce.
Pickles.
Mushrooms, avocado,
bacon,
all that good stuff. So,
okay,
anyway,
calm down.
So, and as of course, as always, if you want to purchase any of the music that we play on our show, please make sure that you go to yourweeklydose.com and go to the Amazon banner, click on that, and then bookmark it, and of course, shop to your heart's delight on any products, basically, not just music, but anything else. And that way it helps us stay on the air. So, you know, it's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I like it. You know, it's easy. Simple as that. So there you go. All right. So looks like we're pretty much on time, right? So I like it. I'm digging it. So let's go ahead and catch up with each other. Look at her. She's doing so good already.
Bump, 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 bump. I Googled cheeseburger. The first thing that came up with Five Guys.
Really? Was it really?
Yeah.
That's funny. So, Stevie, how was your week overall, brother?
Well, we all know the great adventure I had in Utah ended with a hike through Salt Lake City Airport where they're constructing it.
Right.
It almost killed me. So the last couple of weeks I've been like trying to recover. It was hard to even walk. It was horrible. So just the last few days now I'm feeling better.
Oh, that's good.
And my back doesn't hurt as much and my knees don't hurt as much and everything. So things are doing pretty good.
Good, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that you're back to normal, so to speak.
Pretty much back to normal.
That's good.
That's right. And fantasy football.
How are you doing on that so far?
I won the first last week mm-hmm. against the guy who had won it the last time we did it.
Got it.
So I'm doing pretty good. I got a decent team, and it's fun. I missed it. We didn't do it last year because of things that were going on, and we knew that a lot of games would get canceled, and they did, and players would stop and start. It just wasn't going to be conducive, so we decided not to do
not
it.
To do it, yeah.
And we're doing it this year, and things seem to be working out.
That's good. Well, it's good. Well, I mean, the teams are playing. Everybody's doing well, you know, and football season's back again, basically. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where
there are still individual players who are going out on COVID, but it's not many. I think there was only one last week. So, you know, it's not like calmed down to a point where it's not going to affect it too much.
Well, you know, that's what, going back to what the NBA did, you know, during, and to do it the way they did it, you know, but with other sports, it is a little bit harder to do that with.
Yeah, you can't, a football stadium is out in the open.
Right.
And it takes more people to facilitate the game being played.
Yeah.
So it was harder, but in the NBA, they were able to enclose it within an area and within three buildings, and that was it.
And it was phenomenal to do it that
really
way.
Well.
So, yeah,
worked really well.
And I think that's one of the few sports that you could do something like that with, because you can kind of do it with baseball to a degree.
But they had still, the outdoor stadiums and... I don't know. They can't... Well, I guess they could find facilities like maybe where the Little League World Series is. I don't know if
that's a pretty small field, man. Everybody's going to hit the home runs.
There's space beyond it. And I was just thinking in my mind, you know, the possibility of maybe expanding beyond the fence so that if something happened, that they could be used. But some facility like that, they have training facilities where they have full fields and stuff. So
I think it's harder. It's harder. It's definitely a little bit harder, though, to do it, though. Well, I'm glad you're doing your fantasy football thing. That's good, man.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I've had an exciting week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, did you feel the earthquake?
No.
Yesterday?
No.
No?
No, I wasn't really on the ground when it happened.
You were somewhere else?
a little higher, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little higher.
Like the bed, maybe? Oh,
yeah, well, maybe.
You're a little higher.
a little higher
than that, yeah. Okay. I was out, actually, in Arcadia last night with some friends of mine, Mike and Patty Olson. They were performing over at Elks Lodge. And I was originally just thinking, you know, because they were having like a rib dinner thing there. And so I was thinking about just going up and go seeing them. I haven't seen them in quite a while. And watching them perform and everything. So I just asked Mike, I'm like, what's the address? And he gives it to me. He goes, oh, and when you come, bring your rig. I'm like, okay. So basically, I got to do their second set with them. So we only did two sets anyway. So Mike did one by himself, just him and his keyboards. And then Patty and I then jumped in on the second set and just had a blast playing with them again. You know, they're a fun couple. They're a neat couple, great musicians and everything. And it was just one of those things where just getting together and having fun jamming. And, you know, the only thing that tripped me up, though, is I forgot that sometimes Mike likes to put his charts a certain way.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, like, you usually like to hold your pick in your right hand and you had to use your left hand this time.
No.
Okay.
But it's almost like that, though, because normally when you're, as a musician, when you're reading charts, either you have the actual, like, bars of music with the chords above it, so you're just counting to four and changing the chord.
Right.
Or you have what they call a cheat sheet, where it's the words of the song. And then you have the like the chord letter above the word, so you know where to change it at. And then there's the most famous one, which is Nashville style, where it's nothing but numbers above the words. And then he just tells you, oh, it's in the key of A. So you have to know the scale in your head. So let's say, for example, we're doing a song in the key of C. So, okay, one is C, because that's the root. So then the next chord would be four. So you would go C, D, E, F. And then if the next number is a five, then you play, you know, F to G, you know. So, and that's how you did it. But then if sometimes you get thrown in and go, oh, well, it's a two with a small M. So that means it's the second chord, but it's a minor chord.
D minor.
So it'd be a D minor. Exactly. So that's the way Nashville does it. And it makes sense because it's really easy to do, because now they go, gee, you know what? The key of C isn't working for the artist. Let's change it to A. And you're doing the same thing, but now you got to remember the scale of A. But everything else pretty much stays the same, you know, as far as what it is. So he's doing that. So he made me work last night, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
You had to think?
I did.
Oh, my.
I did. Yeah, there was a couple of times I'm going, oh, my God, what is that? And I'm going, 6 amp. Forget it. I'll get it on the turnaround.
That would be a radio station, wouldn't it?
Excuse me. Yeah. I'm like,
FM.
I'll get it on the turnaround or whatever. I'm not going to worry about that. I want to chunk on F because that's the root. And there we go. And, hey, we're back in F. You know?
All right.
So, yeah. But we had a blast. The food, oh, my God, was amazing. These baby back ribs, full on, full rack. They made fresh au gratin potatoes, fresh coleslaw.
Were they fresh or rotten?
What is it? They were freshly rotten.
Oh, boy. That's what I used to call them, was all rotten potatoes. I hated them.
Oh, I love au gratin.
Oh, man. I love them now, but when I was a kid, it was like, ugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So so they had that in a roll, and then they gave us corn on the cob. And I mean, it was a full meal. It was a really full meal. So I got fed, and I got to play. Got a little bit of moolah. So, which was kind of nice. You didn't have to do that.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was nice. And then tonight, I'm playing again over at Phil Tranny's tonight. So.
Oh, that's tonight. That's right.
That's tonight, yeah. That's tonight. So
I think anyway, I said I was going.
Were you?
I don't know now.
I don't know, yeah. So those guys, those of you here in Southern California, whatever, if you want to kind of see me perform or whatever, I'm doing an acoustic thing here in a place called Phil Tranny's, great Italian restaurant in Long Beach.
Oh, yeah.
On Long Beach Boulevard. Yeah. So really, really nice. So come on down for that. So that was my week so far already. So enjoying it. I'm digging it. You know what I'm really digging, though? The person sitting across from us.
Ooh, that means you.
So as many of you know, our producer Zach has moved on to iHeartRadio. We're very, very proud of him. He has always wanted to be an on-air personality with some type of radio thing. Encouraged him, you know, to do voiceover stuff also, introduce him to people there for his career. Brock helped him out quite a bit, got him his reel and everything. And then he finally decided to apply to iHeart because the thing he was here in Long Beach for him. And he got the job. And now he's doing traffic for KNX 1070, which is great.
Yeah.
Very proud of him. Sometimes he goes up in the plane, and he's got the balls for that, son of a bitch. So, that's our Cessna. So so very proud of him. So, again, he's moved on. But couldn't be more happy for him. So we had to look for a new producer.
Yeah, we did.
We had to look for
you
one.
You did.
Yes. Yes, because you were in Utah.
I was in Utah.
You son of a bitch.
Having fun.
And so we're looking. I'm looking, and I come across this resume, and we talked a couple of times, had a great conversation. She's very intelligent, knows what the heck she's doing. She's been around the block way too many times. She's involved herself in some small films, some TV show stuff, some television and everything. So please welcome to the family, Casey Summer.
Hello, welcome everybody. Thank you for having me.
Okay, and that's enough. Yeah. So now, no. Welcome, Casey. This is exciting. Being our new producer, and Steve and I, we were kind of talking and saying we haven't had a female producer in the room since we first started. So mm-hmm. This is kind of taking us back to when we first started the podcast. So we're very, very excited for you to be here and take us to a new level.
Ready to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I like that. She's raising the roof as if everybody can see. So, Casey, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and just a little bit of your television and podcasting stuff that you've been doing.
Well, I started out on the East Coast from New Jersey originally.
Jersey girl, yeah!
That's right. That's right.
She don't take no shit.
Not quite like Snooki. Little few yeah. shades paler.
Yes, you are. She really does need a tan, but anyway, no side point. But I'm digging the hair, though. That's the whole
well,
thing.
Well, being in a studio doesn't help with the tanning.
Yeah. But I'm digging the hair, though. She's got, like, this the red hair. And not like my wife, but it's actually red.
Yeah,
the like color red.
Fire like engine red.
Yeah, yeah, which is cool.
Keep it bright.
So anyway, go ahead, Zoe.
Grew up in New Jersey, went down to college in North Carolina. I'll keep it quick. Graduated with film and television, started working for country clubs doing event organizing, throwing big parties with rich people's money. It was a lot of fun for a good while.
Ooh, she knows how to do that. Yeah. That's, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Mm-hmm. That's a producer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also then jumped on board with a television show called Kindred Spirits. Mm-hmm. Worked for them for 2 seasons started as a production assistant and then started helping out with a little bit with camera, sound, things of that nature. After that, took a pause, started skydiving for a hobby.
Yep.
Started working in the sport for a little bit. Got really familiar with the gear. Started doing a little bit of sales for them. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that a whole lot. Skydiving is a world of entertainment. Anybody out there who has not given it a try should definitely do so.
This will be me skydiving.
Except quieter, you know, because
oh, no.
no one can hear you no. in the air.
Oh, I'll be saying myself.
Me, it'd be like, ah! I'd be passed out.
Yeah, exactly.
Also does happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also does happen.
Yeah.
Then after that, I got out here, started doing a podcast startup business for a consulting firm here in Corona.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just how I got in touch with you guys here. Yeah. Now I'm working out with a hotel down in Santa Monica, do a little event organizing for them there on the weekends, and then I am here with you guys every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
How much more excited can you be?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
One thing.
Wow. Wow, Steve.
Wow.
One thing that really drew me to Casey was not only just her energy and the way she is naturally, but that when she listened to the show, she did a little bit of research and said, this show reminds me of the morning shows I used to listen to as a kid.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going, yes, yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're doing. So, so I think she's a wonderful fit in here. She's got a wonderful bag of knowledge of everything that could definitely help us.
How does that feel to be
have a bag of knowledge?
Bag of knowledge.
I mean, yeah. Women for years have been referred to as old bags, right?
Yeah. Well, now you're a bag of knowledge,
suitcase, a plethora of knowledge,
a pastiche, if you will.
Hey, she's from Jersey. She can take it.
Jersey.
That's true.
She's a Jersey chick, and I love
it. Lotta. That's what we would say. A lot of.
I know. Get me more coffee, please.
So, but yeah, she's going to fit right in here with no problem at all. We can totally tell.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for myself.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing, too.
Makes it so exciting.
But we want to get to know her just a little bit more. So we're going to give her the island questions. Okay. Okay, Steve and I got to put our grass skirts on.
Okay, got mine on. Wait, I think I've got yours.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
How'd you fit that up there? It's only up to your thighs. What do you?
Well, yeah.
Here,
I'm sitting down.
Here's your. You, okay, all right. There, now it flips up. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Ready? Here we go.
Okay, all right. Mine's on. All right. So, Casey, you're much older. You're retired. You've got the career that you've always wanted. Now you get to relax on a deserted island. You could only take one candy bar. Which one would you take?
Oh, it's easy. It's going to be a payday.
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 Ah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. She likes the nutty one.
Likes the peanuts.
Yeah, a little salty.
Salty.
She likes salty
yeah,
nuts.
I like yeah, that one
just
too.
Enough girth to grab it. You know.
Mm. Oh yeah. That's yeah.
And just long enough to take the whole thing in one at a time in one bite. Yeah, okay.
Not the originals. I don't know if I could do that. The snack size ones, sure.
Oh, the snack size. The bite size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to try at least a little.
Try an original. Let's see if you can do it.
I could do it.
I'll have to get a payday for next week and see if she can do it.
I don't fail challenges.
Easily.
That just reminded me of a meme. Remember Stifler's mother?
Uh-huh.
And she was also on Two Broke Girls, the big comedy woman.
Anna Faris?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
there's a meme of she's sitting in a car looking up, and there's a medical technician going, now, this may cause you to gag a little bit. She's sitting there and look, no, it won't.
Awesome. Okay. You can only take one album with you. What album would you take?
Ooh, that's going to be a tougher question. Wow. It's going to have to be Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense.
Nice. Ooh. That's a good pull. That's a very good pull. You can only take one movie with you. What movie would you take?
The Rescuers. Disney. The original the Rescuers. Original Rescuers. So. Not Down Under. That one was great, too.
Uh-huh. The Rescuers. That's
the cool. Rescuers.
All right. What type of food would you take?
Cajun.
Ooh. Cajun food is good.
It is really
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Creole sauce.
Oh, yeah. The marmalade. Oh, yeah.
I can almost hurt my throat. So, okay. You could take one person with you for conversation's sake. You can't take your significant other, though. Okay, they could be dead or alive. And of course, if they were dead, then if they were bringing back alive, it'd be at their prime. Fictional or real person, it doesn't matter. Who would you take for conversation?
I don't know if I remember their name from the film, but I would take Adam Sandler from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, Gilmore himself, then. So.
I can't remember what he played, though. Yeah. I can't remember the name of him in that film.
Yeah, I think it was Gilmore. That's what it is. Happy Gilmore, I think. So, yeah.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, whatever Gilmore. But, yeah, okay. Mm. That's cool for conversation. All right.
Yeah, but frozen in that time, though.
Okay, gotcha. Now, here's the tough one. Everybody has struggles with this one. You can take one person for sexual gratification. Once again, it cannot be your significant other. Who would you take?
Hmm.
Notice she's thinking harder on this one
yeah.
than the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm thinking, do I want professional or.
I was going.
Or
that was,
pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like Ron Jeremy style, like Hugh Hefner, you know, someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I totally understand. Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, like Channing Tatum or like Ryan Gosling.
Uh-huh.
You know, more on the sultry side to look
right.
at. Probably Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, he's like the right amount of crazy.
There you go. Right amount of crazy. I like that.
You ever watched him in Lars and the Real Girl?
I've seen bits and pieces, yes. So I know what you're talking about.
That's a wild movie. He does a really nice job getting into a character. I like Ryan Gosling for chooses a little bit of different roles every now and again.
Yeah.
He likes to do independent films, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, there's been a couple that I've watched him in where I'm like, ooh, that's a stretch.
Yeah, it's going to have to be Ryan Gosling.
That's a good pull, though. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
So, I feel good about my island.
Yeah. You got a good island there. You got a good island, you know.
Yeah. Never just get rid of all the snakes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that means, but okay. So there you go, guys. That is our new producer, Casey Summers. And the Island Questions, getting to know Casey. And, of course, she'll be joining us every Saturday, of course, and doing a wonderful job with us.
Make me warm all over. With a feeling that I'm cold and love you till the end of time.
Yeah, we will. So, okay, I got to ask you, Steve, and you too, Casey, because we got a few moments here before our guest joins us, but this kind of goes in with our guest. Favorite cookies. You guys have a favorite cookie overall?
Ginger snaps.
Ginger snaps? Steve?
I forget the name of it, but they're sort of an Asian cookie with...
Fortune cookie.
Almond cookie?
No. No, I can't remember the name, but it's got a glaze and sesame seeds.
Oh.
And stuff. They're really hard to find.
Okay. I do like sesame seeds.
I can't remember what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
No, I forgot since they can't find them anymore.
Right. Well, and that's what this whole our guest coming on is going to be talking about. Because
right.
When I was in Vegas recently, on the way back, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel for breakfast. And Karen goes out to the little store, you know, that Cracker Barrel has and everything. And she's looking at the different things that are there and so forth, what have you. And then she sees something that I've been looking for the last 6 years. Because I heard that they were coming back. And that is Hydrox cookies. So some of you may know about it. Some of you guys may not know about it. You know, it was... originally done by the Sunshine Cracker Company, started in 1908, and they did it for 90 years, and then the name got kind of handed around, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later with our guest. But I've been looking for these things, you know, to come back, and it's been so difficult to find them, and all of a sudden, Karen finds them at the Cracker Barrel, buys... you know, a little thing of it, and brings it to the table. And, oh, my God, I squealed like a little boy.
I was
so excited. And it was just so cool to finally, you know, have them. And then to bring them home and to try them and go, oh, my word, this tastes exactly like it was when I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same, you know. And because when you fall in love with a cookie like that, you know, it's and it goes away. Like, even for you, the Chinese cookie or whatever.
Or even my second wife.
Which, by the way, I did find out, they are called Shin Tung Yang.
Well, there you go.
Whoa.
Shin Tung Yang.
Shin Tung Yang.
Is the cookies that you like.
Okay.
So now we got to find Shin Tung Yang. Yes, he's going, I got to look for it now on my tablet. So, and anyway, so we found these cookies. I just been like going, oh, and I was like eating like three every other night. So we're just like slowly, you know. And for those of you who are not too familiar with the Hydrox, basically they're like an Oreo cookie is what it is. But they're the original because Oreos didn't happen until 1912. Hydrox happened in 1908. Which one came first? Oreo copied them, them bastards. So, but that's what this whole thing is going to be, and so I'm really looking forward on talking to him, and seeing how and why he chose these cookies and everything. So I'm really excited about it. But you know, when you get your favorite cookie as a kid, and you try it as an adult, it's like, oh, it takes you back. It takes you back. So is that what happened with you with the ginger snaps, though?
I grew into ginger snaps,
though. You grew into them?
Yeah. I wasn't really a big sweets fan as a child, and then developed my sweet
tooth. Now, are you a dunker?
No.
No?
No, but I will, like, take a bite and kind of suck on it a little bit and get it kind of soft. But I do love a good biscotti with some coffee, though.
Oh, there you go.
I like that kind of texture.
With some what?
With some coffee.
Coffee.
There you hear it. Yeah. There you hear it. Yeah, there it is.
There's a jizzy girl. Yeah, how about you, Steve? I mean, are you a dunker?
No, I don't dunk things.
Really?
Yeah.
None of you guys are dunkers?
Nah.
I'm out of here. Really, you've never...
I don't want to put that soggy thing in my mouth.
I thought you liked having soggy things in your mouth, Steve.
Maybe a soggy taco.
A soggy taco, okay.
Because
Lord knows they got plenty of those in Utah. You know, a lot of soggy tacos there. Because, boy, those Latinos up in Utah, man. You know,
they're just
full of it and everything.
Yeah. There's a Mexican restaurant up in Utah that was owned by a man and a woman who were married, and then they got divorced, and so they separated, and one bought the other out, and then turned around and opened the same restaurant under a different name. So there's two restaurants, different restaurants, owned by one group by the woman and one group by the man who used to be married, and they serve the same food.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a barbecue company in North Carolina that did the same thing. They were partners, had a terrible breakup among themselves. Yeah, and then they just both left and took bits and pieces of the company, made their own barbecue chains, and they're within the same town.
That's funny.
Yeah,
and now they rival. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one that'll probably kind of top you guys there. So the apartment complex that I used to live in, mm-hmm. before we bought the house here. Okay, so you enter. There's a walkway for where I used to live here in Los Alamitos. So you look to the left, you see the apartment building there, four units. You look to the right, four units also. Okay. I found out later on that they were one big giant kind of unit together. So it was a husband and wife who owned it. In the divorce, they had to split it and give them two separate addresses.
Oh, no.
So, and the thing is that we got the, the swimming pool on our side. And the thing was that the people on the other side couldn't go into the swimming pool.
Oh, no.
So only we got it.
Oh, no.
And that was it. So, you know, that was the whole thing. And that's what it was, basically. So do we have our guest?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right. Today's guest, guys, is a very special person because it seems like he's kind of like a kid at heart. And I'm really intrigued by his story. He turned his hobby for marketing and branding into a new career path when he bought the rights for his favorite candy, Astro Pops, which I need to talk to him about as well. In 2011, he started a strategic marks to bring back many of the old brands which had faded away. Also in 2011, he restarted Leaf Brands, which was once the fourth largest candy company in the U.S. Until it was sold to Hershey. So please, welcome to the program, Mr. Kossoff. How are you, sir?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Good. Mr. Kossoff, how do you pronounce your first name? Because I don't want to make mistakes here.
Sure, it's Elia Kassoff.
Elia. So, Elia Kassoff. Elia. Okay, Elia.
Yeah, it's like Elliot without a T.
Got it. Okay. All right. Elliot, welcome to the program. I really appreciate you coming on because there's so many questions I want to ask you overall. So I really appreciate it.
Sure.
First off, let's kind of go back a little bit. Your bio was kind of saying that you always had your hand in the cookie jar with your Uncle Ed Leaf running the distribution with Leaf Company when you were a kid. How did you get involved with your uncle? How did that develop?
Well, actually, I didn't. I mean, as a kid, you know, I was, you know, he passed away when I was quite young from brain aneurysm. But you know, the growing up, getting, you know, going to New York every summer, and seeing the family, my dad would always bring back big bags of candy, and then Bertha Leaf, which was his aunt. Had a house in Palm Springs for the winter time where I grew up. So she would every year would bring a lot of the test candy. So I was always excited to see what she had in her little treasure chest every time I'd come over the house. But and then I used to sell candy on the playground in elementary school, which was I used to get, you know, well, hey, you got a
young entrepreneur. You know, I like that.
Heck yeah, you know, it's just filling a void, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I was always surrounded by candy, and I, whenever I would go to a grocery store and I would see the gumball machines and it would say Leaf, it always excited me. It's like, hey, that's my family. So my aunt, you know, married in, my uncle Ed Leaf, so that's kind of how it all started. But
that's awesome, man. That is awesome. You're bringing back with your company Leaf, you're bringing back specific products like Astro Pops. What is making you want to bring back these specific products overall?
So selfishly, it's stuff that I remember and loved as a kid. Pretty simple stuff.
Awesome. Awesome.
But I also have people that, you know, I have a lot of fans that will email me and or call and say, hey, you know, can you bring back a specific item? I used to love it as a kid. So we'll do some research and kind of see if it makes sense. And if it does, we'll look into bringing it back. So it's a little combination of both. But the passion for me is stuff that I used to, you know, I grew up as a kid and said, where is it? I miss it. And yeah, so that's how it kind of starts.
Yeah. And you started doing the Astro Pops. And I got to tell you this. My great-great-grandmother... actually, it's supposedly rumored that she invented what we now know as the Astro Pops. She was in Texas, and in Spanish they called it Pidio Lee.
Yeah, Pure Lee. Yeah.
And unfortunately, she never did anything about it. So we kind of like, I guess, other manufacturers, you know, saw what she was doing, and then I guess went out and got the copyright or whatever they needed to do. So. My family's still poor, so is what I'm trying to say. Because of it, but I'm glad that you're kind of bringing that back, though, because it's really, really cool. Because I've heard so many things about it growing up, also, you know. And so, was Astro Pop one of your favorite as a young kid? And did you have it all the time? Or
yep, that was the first one, and I used to buy by the box at Smart and Final here in Southern California.
Yeah.
And I would walk in one time and I said, where's your Astro Pops? They said, yeah, we're out of stock right now. Come back in a little bit. And a couple months later, come back. Where's the Astro Pops? You get them in yet? Gee, I think they stopped making them. And I froze. I'm like, what? Yeah. And that was just, that's like saying, oh yeah, we don't make Coke anymore. No.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you there. I hear you there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're, Lisa, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
That's that, yeah. So it was kind of one of those labors of love. I said, wait a second, I can't let this thing, you know, go off into the sunset. You know, I need to bring it back. I need to find out what's going on. And that's what I did, is I, you know, called up the company, and Spangler Candy at the time, they make Dum Dums and Safety Pops and Circus Peanuts. And I just said, where's Astro Pop? And they said, yeah, we decided it wasn't part of our marketing mix anymore. So we, and then I just, when I'm talking to the president, I just blurted out, can I buy the rights? That was just, I'm like, what did I just say? You know, because I just.
Who said that?
Yeah, I just said who, I couldn't let it die. I just had to be the one to say, I want to bring it back. So that's, it started off with a passion of one product.
And now you've got other products. You have obviously the Astro Pops, the Astro Pop Soda, the Tartan Tinies.
Right.
Fart candies, which I've never heard of, so I'm really interested in that. Bonkers, Wacky Wafers, David's Beyond Gourmet Jelly Beans, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the show was because of the Hydrox cookies themselves. Why Hydrox, and how did you acquire the rights to that?
Sure. So I have a methodology for acquiring trademarks. So you know, I was looking for Hydrox for years, and I noticed that, you know, all there was is pretty much Oreo now, and I couldn't understand, you know, where, you know, what happened to Hydrox. And because as growing up as a kid, I'm, you know, I'm a kosher Jewish, and
okay.
And that's all we had in our house, because back then Oreo had beef fat and lard in it, and all the whole, pretty much the whole Nabisco line had beef fat and lard.
Got it. Okay.
Yummy. Most people don't know that, but yeah, you're eating lard when you were, that cream was pretty much all lard. and so I turned to my dad while I was driving one day and I said, I'm bringing Hydrox back. And I know, you know, over time, you know, that just because something leaves a market doesn't mean it was bad, doesn't mean it lost its customer base. It's usually pretty simple, and that comes down to companies make really bad decisions. You know, product managers, they just don't get it. And they make bad decisions that really kind of alienate the customer base. And so I started looking at what happened to Hydrox, and that was pretty much the same thing. It was a product made by Sunshine Biscuit. I'm sure everybody has watched the there's a bunch of YouTube videos about, if you haven't seen it, there's just type in Hydrox cookie on YouTube and you can see some, you know, they got millions and millions of views. Mm-hmm. Talking about the history of Hydrox. And you'll see that it's been a competition between Oreo and Hydrox since the beginning, Hydrox being the first brand and Oreo being the copycat.
Yeah.
And so then Keebler bought Sunshine Biscuit. And then the people at Keebler said, oh, we know better. We're going to change the name because people don't like the name. It sounds like it's a cleaning liquid. So we're just going to do that. So they didn't do any market research. It's kind of marketing 101. So they decided also to reformulate it and become they wanted to be closer to Oreo, uh-huh. Making it more sweet, which is kind of one of the characteristics of Hydrox, is it's supposed to be less sweet. So
right.
they were literally killing the core characteristics of what made a Hydrox. And they were just clueless. So they renamed it Droxies.
Now, okay.
From a marketing perspective, when you rename something, it's no longer the current old product. Now, and people question, where's my Hydrox? Oh, now it's called Droxies. Huh?
Right.
What else did they do to it? So it's already elicits that question, you know, and sales just tumbled because it's no longer the brand that people loved and looked for in the store. Then Keebler buys, or then Kellogg's buys Keebler. And Kellogg's decides to even, you know, formulate it a different, I think they want, I forgot what they just were playing with it so many ways. Finally, they discontinued it because they just, like I said, it was just a lost product. So I acquired the trademark and the rights, you know, about 6 years ago. And it's, you know, and then went to work on rolling it back to the original design, formula, everything. That's what we do also, because we try to fix all the stupid things that companies do with these products over the years to change it. Mm-hmm. We did it with Wacky Wafers and Tartan Tiny. Every single item pretty much needs to be rolled back. Not the high fructose corn syrup, took out all the artificial flavors, hydrogenated oil, and started pretty much to bring it back to when it was a real cookie.
Right. And that's one thing I definitely have to admire with you, is that you're going back to, let's say, even, you know, people of my generation. I'm 51, who remember Hydrox, you know, and going back and having it when we were kids. And, I mean, when I got this new packet recently, and I believe I said in the email that I sent to you, my family, we were in Vegas, and we saw it at a Cracker Barrel. My wife saw it, bought it immediately because she knew I was going to flip, because she knows that every time I go to the store, I'm constantly looking for the cookies ever since I heard that they were making a comeback. And so it was just, you know, so hard to find. I go to Rouse, I go to Vons, I go to, you know, other stores, whatever. And of all places, we find it at a Cracker Barrel, you know.
Yep.
And so we get home, I open them up, I get a glass of milk like I always did, and for me, it was, wow, it took me back to when I was 7 years old. It was the exact same cookie. And
so, yeah.
I have to applaud you on that, you know, for doing what you're doing, of trying to make the formula, but redoing it so it tastes exactly the same, but, you know, taking out all the bad stuff and kind of leaving the natural stuff in there, and you did a wonderful job.
Well, what we, you know, I did, you pretty much followed my playbook. I mean, what I'm trying to do is rebuild experiences, you know, not just a product, but rebuild the experience. I want people to just all of a sudden be, you know, just all of a sudden they're, you know, rolled back to when they were a little kid and eating something and those memories that the, you know, taste and smell is such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And I've had people, you know, literally cry when they eat a Hydrox or have an Astro Pop or a Wacky Wafer because it just takes them back to when, you know, things were great, you know, and yeah. you know, and they were kids and those memories. So it's really that's really what I'm trying to hit. I mean, I'm really obviously bringing things back. Mm-hmm. that people remember, but I want to make people happy all day and bring back a little bit of that childhood. So it's critical that you bring it back the way it used to be. We do a lot of research with a lot of the fan base and with all of our products, and we tweak it to make sure it's exactly the way it is. We try to find the exact same suppliers, the exact same ingredients, and it takes a while, but you know, when we do it right.
Well, it definitely seems that you have hit a, not just a home run with Hydrox, but you hit a grand slam on this, because even now I go on Amazon, or my mom was checking them out on Walmart, everybody's out still, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I'll ask you, you know, it's because it seems to be such a big hit, how hard is it for you as a CEO to keep up with the manufacturing of the cookie and to try and keep them on the shelf right now?
Well, we've had some issues like everyone else in the world, and that's supply chain issues. We've had cocoa shortages. We use a very, very specific cocoa that's always been part of Hydrox, and because of all the shipping issues and it's that's been causing a large problem with supply chain. And we also have good old Amazon. They take their own sweet time picking up product because we have pallets and pallets ready for them, and it could take 2 to 3 weeks before they have a truck to pick up, and that's frustrating. And also, it's not easy working with Amazon as a vendor. Now they've enacted certain limitation called storage limitations in all their warehouses. And that means that we can only ship a certain amount of product to them at one time. And then we have to go through it and then ship more. So as soon as we ship it, it's out of stock. Ship it or it's out of stock. Right. We used to ship truckloads, and now we're not able to do that. And so we've asked them to waive that policy for us. They've denied it 3 times, and I said, you know, we're a high volume product. How the hell can you do this? So the people at Walmart, where they said, you know, look, we want to have it on our, you know, we want to bring it back, and I can get into that in a second, but we want to put it on Walmart.com as soon as possible. We're close to getting it all set up on Walmart.com. But the biggest issue we have, and we filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, is that the people at Mondelez who make Oreo had been hiding the cookies around in grocery stores nationwide for quite a while. And it sounds like conspiracy theory stuff, but it's actually real. I was surprised to see this, but when you're sitting in the buyer in Bentonville, Arkansas at Walmart, with the buyer in her office, and she's saying, we're going to bring Hydrox in. This is about 6 years ago. Uh-huh. We're bringing Hydrox back to Walmart, but there, you have to be very careful, and you're going to have a big issue that you have to deal with. And I said, well, what's that? Here, my face is, you know, I'm all excited. We're getting him in the Walmart. Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
And then she says, well, Mondelez, who makes Oreo, they're in our stores a couple times a week, and they're for restocking, and they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that you fail. And I look at her, I go, what does that mean? She says, they're going to hide your product anywhere they can, in the back of the shelf, back of the store, on the top of the shelf, whatever they can to make sure nobody can find the product. So you have to hire a separate marketing company to go in, you know, monitor your numbers for each store. And if you see some volumes going down, you have to send the marketing company in to find out where the product is, because most likely it's being hidden. And I just looked at her, I said, what? Come on. I mean, here I'm thinking everyone plays fair. That I soon learned that was not the case.
Yeah. And my son even was reading an article about that that Oreo will, you know, send out their own people, and even with other cookie companies, push them towards the back or whatever. And so that way, most of the aisle, when you look at it, you know, you've got the different Oreo. It's the regular, the double stuff, the pink, the mint, the this, the that, or whatever, the chocolate one, the double chocolate, or whatever, you know. And it's really interesting because, I mean, Oreo makes enough money as it is with, with the different, you know. And I'm going, are they really that greedy?
No, it's not a matter of greed. It's a matter of they're worried that if we start to get a foothold again into the market, we're going to take over a lot of their business again. See, when Kellogg's, when Hydrox left the market, the idiots at Kellogg's really didn't think about the vacuum that it would create. And Oreo just took over everything from food service for crushed product to ice cream companies, you name it. It was all of a sudden it was like a free for all. Like, you know, they were the only national brand then. There really is no other national brand besides Hydrox and Oreo.
Right.
You have some niche brands, you know, like Newman's, which is more organic, but that's a whole separate market. So it's really the Coke and Pepsi competition of the cookie aisle. So you can't look at it as greed. You look at it as, you know, we don't want Hydrox to get back in. But fortunately, well, let me just put it this way. I saw it personally. I was at my local Ralph's grocery store, and I saw what they did. They took our product, moved it to the top shelf so nobody could find it. They put Nutter Butters in its place, and we paid for that slot. There's something called a slotting fee that you have to pay. It could be between $10,000 and $100,000 for each product on a store shelf in a national retailer.
Wow.
And, oh yeah, there's a lot of costs, and so Oreo is pretty much paid for all those spaces, and we had one that was right smack in the middle of the cookie aisle, and so they purposely, and you know that's and the guys who restock they were getting from what we understand and what we were told from others in the industry and also people that worked at Mondelez, they would get paid for doing this, for hiding the product, because that means that they were making sure that we were not going to bubble back up. But thanks to the greed of Mondelez, they've been closing plants down in the U.S. for quite a few years now.
Uh-huh.
And they built the largest cookie and cracker plant in the world in Mexico a couple years ago. So they've been slowly moving production to Mexico. When I say slowly, they didn't do it quickly on purpose because they didn't want to disrupt the unions and disrupt, you know, and make it a big press issue,
right.
PR issue.
Right.
But finally, I think after the fifth plant closed down recently, the unions finally said, that's enough. You know, you're moving all of our jobs. You're closing these plants. There's no reason to do so, except for greed. It's a corporate company. The corporations are there for stockholder equity and stockholder value. They're not there to service the customer. I mean, you could think all you want, but you know, and obviously the customer drives profits. But it really, they're in the, you know, they've got some very large stockholders that even said in the press that if Mondelez doesn't increase their profits, they're going to split them off and sell them in pieces. So they're moving all their stuff to Mexico. So we're getting some very, very large ice cream companies and some very large, industrial company customers that are coming to us saying, we're done with Oreo. We want to go back to Hydrox, or we want to visit Hydrox. And also over the years, I decided let's be honest with you, this is the biggest competition in the world is Hydrox and Oreo.
Right.
How do I differentiate besides, you know, the three characteristics, the darker chocolate, less sweet, and crunchier cookie? So we went off to make it non-GMO. We rolled back so we're using real cane sugar, which is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We're also now certified vegan. So we have a lot of ways to differentiate ourselves. So you're actually getting a better product. You know, when you know you have real sugar, real vanilla, real, you know, everything. And then we're made in the USA. We're made in LA. So there's a big differentiation. And that's also what's bringing a lot of new customers. And millennials want social responsibility. They want their corporate the companies that they buy from to have a social responsibility. And Mondelez is turning out to be the opposite. I mean, their only goal now is simply to increase their profits, and that means moving the product to Mexico where it can be made very cheap, mm-hmm. and with lower quality ingredients, which is what they're doing.
Right.
So it's a nice advantage to us now. I mean, it's not much, but we're working on trying to get back into a lot of these stores. But once again, when Oreo has 45 to even 50 facings, meaning products on the shelf, it's really hard for little old Hydrox to get back in the market because these supermarkets are, you know, they're happy with Oreo. Now, also what we're claiming is that Mondelez artificially lowers the prices of Oreo at the store shelf, at the supermarket shelf. If you'll notice that Oreo is about, could be $2.50 to $2.99 on sale at the supermarket, which is, we know how you, even at the larger scale, to make the product, it's still, we know that they're almost making it at a loss to sell it at that price at retail, right, at a grocery store. Right. When you go to a CVS or a Walgreens or other types of stores, you'll see it at $4.99 and $5.29. That's the real price. So they're doing it on purpose to make sure nobody can jump into the market, and they can even capture a lot of the generic store brand as well. It's kind of smart, but you know, to see, hey, if we might be losing money, but we'll make it up on volume, because they can take that volume share away from, you know, Walmart's brand or Ralph's brand.
And that's one thing I was going to ask you, is that, you know, I know that, like you just said, Walmart has their own version of the cookie. I forgot who else I saw the other day has their own version of.
They all do. Sure. I mean, every Kroger, you name it, all the big stores.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you thought about maybe approaching them to see, maybe would Leaf be take over the production of it itself? Would that help you, or would that hinder you, or?
No, that's.
Or is that something completely different?
I mean, to be quite honest, there's a reason why the store brands have a low price, and that's because they use cheap ingredients. So if you look at the ingredient panel,
right,
of a store. A store's version, they always have high fructose corn sweetener. They always have artificial flavor, mm-hmm. And some other unknown ingredients.
Right.
I mean, you know, chemicals or whatever in the product. They're focused on giving you a lower price alternative, not a higher quality item.
Got it. Okay.
And Hydrox is a brand name, so it's
very true.
Yes.
Very true.
Yeah.
So with all of that, you know, being said and everything, you mentioned that your the factory to make the Hydrox cookies is here in Los Angeles, correct?
Right. Yes.
Can I be a security guard?
You know, with COVID, we can't even go in and watch production anymore. We used to watch production, but they have limited people that can, you know, that can actually even go into the factory now because of that. So it's not, you know, it's always fun to watch your product being made.
Right.
No question about it. There's something about, you know, watching your cookies being assembled and packaged that's just fascinating. And you're like, gosh, this is my product. Wow. It's overwhelming. It's so exciting.
Now, if you don't mind, I do have a question here for you. Is the structural integrity of the Astro Pop still the same? Because I owe one of my siblings a good poking with one of those lollipops.
Actually, you know, it's so funny you say that. So when I bought the rights for Astro Pop from Spangler, the reason why they stopped making it is the sales fell drastically. Why did the sales fall? Because they reversed the pop and put this stick at the tip of the pop. They felt it would be a better mouthfeel, but they also were worried that people would injure themselves with the stick, with the tip at the end, like it's always been.
Right.
And so the first thing we did was, it was awful. I mean, I don't know if anyone had a chance to have the upside down Astro Pop that Spangler made before they discontinued it, but it was horrendous. It was just weird to suck on it. And so the first thing we did is we reversed the pop, and had to, you know, to the original design. So yeah, everything is, the structural integrity, yes, is there. When you warm it, when you put it in your mouth and warm it up, you actually can pull it, you know, if you do it slowly, you can pull that ribbon of candy just like you did when you were a kid. But you know what, it's just one of those things that everyone runs around scared, and it's just one of those, you know, it's an item that we, you know, sold millions and millions and millions over the years. And, you know, there are stupid people.
I'm going to have to tell my sister that you confirmed it for me.
I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, you could suck on a candy cane to a very sharp, in fact, a worse, even a sharper tip. And folks, you know, so there's anything, and there's, you know, we have a world full of stupid people, and we all know that without getting political. But I actually put a warning on the Astropop that says, do not, you know, warning, do not eat during physical activity. you know, I just, but will people poke, you know, yours, you know, poke their brothers or sisters in the back of the car during the summer trip?
Yes, I will.
Absolutely. That's,
yes, I will. And she has one waiting. If you can hear me out there, Morgan, Astro Pops are back, and I will get you.
Yeah, and that's just, we've all done it to her. You know, it's like, ow, ow, stop it, ow.
See, and in the meantime, I'm over here eating my Hydrox cookies, so I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, so, hey, you got to bring back all the facets of fun, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I enjoy what I do, and we're bringing back shortly, it's a Quickstand bubblegum, which was little packets of powdered bubblegum that we had as a kid, made by Fleer.
That, yeah.
Fleer. So that's coming back. We're going to be at the convenience store show in Chicago, first week of October. So we're going to release that. We're also releasing Big Buddy Bubblegum, which was the foot-long rope of bubblegum.
Oh, I remember those, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you could bend it and put it in your pocket and take a big chunk out. And we're also bringing back something called Black Bart Bubblegum. It was more of a Canadian item, but very popular. It's, believe it or not, a licorice-flavored bubblegum. Farts Candy is something that I worked to create with the guy who invented... The guy who invented the Jelly Belly. I knew that was coming. But, that's funny. Leaf was always a fun, very innovative company, and I noticed that candy companies over the years got too big, got too corporate, and the fun pretty much left, you know, these companies because they were all focused on financials and not fun.
Right.
So we created a product that was kind of like a chewy nerd, but I wanted to focus on experiences. So we focused on the flavors. The flavors had to invoke memories of childhood, whether, you know, cherry is like the cherry Italian ice, grape is like grape Kool-Aid. So very, very, you know, very specific flavors that as soon as you eat it, you go, oh my gosh, this tastes just like blank.
Right.
Not just a regular cherry or watermelon Jolly Rancher, for example, has one of our flavors. Uh-huh. But I wanted to make something that was fun, that when you said it, people laughed. When you ate it, people go, wow, that tastes great. When you look at it, people go, that's beautiful. And it's a nice kind of a chewy texture, unlike Nerds. So it's a very popular product. We're also coming out with Natural Farts, which is made with natural flavors and colors. So, you know.
I like that. You got regular farts
and natural farts.
I like that.
Yeah. And then sour farts. So, and then we're coming out with.
My wife is going to love the sour ones for sure.
Yeah, we have, and also we're coming out with super sour farts. So, I wanted to just create a product that made people laugh, that made their day, you know, they can smile and grin and say, well, that's what candy's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a full immersed experience and not just something you toss in your mouth. Because if that's the case, I can give you a cup of sugar and you can just down it and you're getting the same experience. But, you know, if that's what you wanted. Mm-hmm. So That's kind of what I'm. I tell people I bring back experiences, not just you know, products.
Well, you are doing a heck of a job, Ellie, especially with the Hydrox cookies. And if you're putting the same care into that, into all of your other products, know that if we can help in any way to get the word out of any of these products, we are here for you.
Sure.
You know, because we. We're also syndicated in Northern Indiana and also on the East Coast, so we got listeners there as well. And if we can get it out and get a couple of mobs of people to check the top shelves of Ralph's and everything, and to put the Hydrox lower so they can more at eye level, so Grandma can pick it up, you know, or something, then you know we will help you do that.
I think the key thing is supporting the stores that have them. Cracker Barrel, for example, is a great customer of ours. They have all of our items. They love our product. And, you know, just going there to support it. Big Lots has our Tartan Tinies and Wacky Wafers. You know, that's, you know, that we have that there. So we have some large chains that have our stuff. But, you know, and, you know, just talk to your grocer and say, hey, can you bring Hydrox back? Or call the cookie or candy buyer at your favorite store at corporate. So just call the corporate number, ask for the cookie buyer or candy buyer and say, can you bring Hydrox back? I mean, that's really what helps us, not just talking to the grocer, because they write it down and they send it over to corporate, but that's not the major thing. It's telling your grocery store's cookie buyer or candy buyer, can you please bring this product in? You'll have lots of customers. So that's really where what we need is to generate that that excitement. Because a lot of these cookie buyers, like I said, they're happy with Oreo. Right. For example, you know, we've got some you know, some large chains here, whether it's Gelson's or you know, name a chain in Southern California. We've talked to them, and they say, yeah, we're happy with, you know, with Oreo. Right. We, you know, and you're like, how can you be happy with just one item? But they make, you know, like I said, Oreo pays them a lot of money.
Right.
You know, and so it's frustrating for us when we can't get on the shelf when the customer wants the product.
What about going direct to the customer? I mean, has that been a thought by chance, or is it just too difficult?
Yeah, so the cost of shipping the item these days, you know, shipping costs are extremely high. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the cost of shipping would cost almost the price of the product. So that's the issue you've got. And it's a huge amount of infrastructure. So we're going to rely more on like Walmart.com and Amazon to do that for us rather than selling it direct. So, but, you know, I would say, you know, call Smart and Final. They're local,
right,
in Southern California. Say, can you please, you know, bring back, you know, Hydrox. Name another grocery store in Southern Cal, and I'll tell you.
Vons, Ralph's.
Yep, so Ralph's is part of Kroger. You know, we've been trying to talk to them. They do all their buying out in Ohio. Stater Brothers is one that really, really bugs us, because they, at one point, they wanted to bring it in, and now they're, you know, and then they said, nah, we're okay, we're going to. And they didn't even have a store brand for a while. So they had all Oreo. I mean, talk about the lack of selection. And Stater Brothers prides themselves on having all kinds of selection. But when you go to the cookie aisle, nope. So, you know, call up Stater Brothers and talk to the cookie buyer there and say, please, you know, can you bring it back?
You know, that's maybe one thing we should do for the show, is kind of do like a Hydrox campaign and see how many people we can get to call in. Even to, let's say Stater Brothers alone in Southern California. And go out there and go out and protest.
We'll broadcast from the
broadcast from Stater Brothers, you know, and say we want our Hydrox.
And whether it's Gelson's or Stater Brothers, I mean, we're a local product. Come on, people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're made in LA. I mean, support local. You know, forget how much money you're getting paid by Mondelez, and forget all of that stuff, and just think about supporting your local manufacturers.
And that's one thing I love about you, is that when I noticed that when I first contacted you, you were local, and I'm going, you're kidding me, really? This is freaking awesome, you know? And you're absolutely right, you know, and now definitely is the time to support our local manufacturers, to support our local businesses. And you're one of them. And it's like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we've been trying to get back into Gelson's. They had us on the very bottom shelf years ago. They didn't, you know, I can go into it, but all I can say is call the Gelson's cookie buyer, you know, call Smart and Final right. cookie buyer, call, and, you know, and Stater Brothers. I mean, those are some of the big local Southern Cal stores that just said, yeah, we're okay. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, we've got a great product that's made here.
Yeah, and it tastes, like I said, it tastes just like it was when I was, you know, a kid. And I'm talking, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, even when I was 25 years old. You know, it was good then, it's good now. And you've done a wonderful job.
Here's the one thing that we have issues with a lot of the buyers these days for groceries, just stores in general, is that years ago, buyers would look at the product, they taste it, they go, you know what, I like this. I'm going to bring it in. Nowadays, the buyers are only focused on numbers. Right. You know, show us the IRI data, which is all the shopping data. Where do you rank in the cookie category? Show us why we should bring it in based on the numbers. We've had buyers, not for us, but for another candy company owner we were talking, and he said, it's so frustrating. You go in and talk to a buyer, you spend a lot of time creating a great new product that we're really proud of, and then the buyer looks at it and says, he said, here, try it. And the buyer goes, nah, I don't eat candy. What's your numbers look like? And it's like a slap in the face for some of us, because it's like, you know, you're proud of this great product you bring in, and yet the buyers focus only on the shopping, the actual analytics and the numbers. They're afraid to take a chance with a product. They just want to be the one, the me too kind of thing. And I go, yeah, we're only going to bring the top blank percent, rather than saying, you know, Hydrox has been around, we're getting a lot of publicity, let's bring it in, or Wacky Wafers or whatever. That's the issue that we have with a lot of the buyers as a whole in the U.S. And it's getting worse as the older ones retire, who took a chance with products and really cared about the product. And so we were very high on the IRI data in the cookie space. Before Mondelez started hiding the product, we jumped to we were higher than Newman's, you name it. I mean, right. We were really high. But I think what happened is Mondelez started to see us creeping up the list, and they said, uh-oh, Oreo's, you know, Hydrox is getting too much of a foothold. We got to do something about it. So it's frustrating, because now we're in very, very limited stores that don't track the IRI data. And so these supermarket buyers, they go, show us the data. And you're like, well, we used to, you know, Amazon doesn't report data, neither does Walmart.com. So there's a lot of that scan, you know, when you buy an item and it's scanned at the right. at the cashier, that goes into the data pool for IRI, and then companies buy that data. So that's the issue, is that we're kind of, you know, in some ways, Mondelez succeeded in getting us out of a lot of the grocery stores.
Okay.
But we're not going anywhere. You know, yeah. we're retrenching, and we're working on, well, you know, getting back into
that. Well, we're going to help you put up that fight no matter what. And before we let you go, I think I got another idea too. And Steve, tell me what you think of this. We go into a specific store, like a Ralph's or a Vons, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
We buy all the Oreos.
Okay.
Make them put back Hydrox, and then we return the Oreos. So that way they're stuck with that, you know, whatever. So that way it at least gives Hydrox another shot at. Or we go into the different stores and find out where they're hiding it, and have like arrow signs saying Hydrox are hidden here, you know, or hidden there, you know, and that might help too.
That might.
That might help too as well.
Stand outside the store eating a
Hydrox
cookies as people walk in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give you a really quick story before we leave.
Sure.
And that is, we had a customer in Florida that called us and said, when we were at Walmart, he said, you know, I've been trying to find Hydrox at Walmart and here in my local store, and I can't seem to find it. Can you help me? And I said, yeah, they should be at your store. I called the store manager and I said, we've got customer complaints that they can't find Hydrox at your Walmart. Can you help us out? She says, sure, let me call you back. Let me look into it and call you back. So she called me back and she said, we figured out what the issue is. Your product was being hidden. And she said, I actually knew who's doing it. It's Mondelez. She says, I called up the regional manager at Mondelez and I said, I want an executive to call me this week and explain why they keep hiding Hydrox cookies at our store. And I threatened them. She said, if they don't stop doing it, I'm taking all of their product off the shelf. And until I get an executive to come into my store and explain themselves, all the Mondelez products will be off of our shelf. So we have supporters that that see the issue and take a stand. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to police thousands of stores, you know.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Well, if we can, we're going to help out in any way we can, you know, throughout. Because, like I said, you have done a wonderful job on this cookie.
Thank you.
It's taken me, you know, back to my childhood. And I can't wait to find another box or bag or whatever, and if you got one laying around in your office, you can send it to my house. That'd be nice, because I'm just waiting for these cookies to come back. I, you know, and finally I had one batch, you know, and I'm looking forward to having them again. And
yeah, you'll see them back, but you know, but support us on Amazon and Cracker Barrel, and
we definitely will. We're gonna start tweeting and texting and telling people what to do and where to look for and everything, and exactly some of the things that you told us. And we'll help get the campaign out. Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Elliot, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. We had a blast listening to you and learning about the cookie industry and what actually is going on out there. So that was very, very educational for all of us. So, and like I said, anything that we can do to help out, just give us a call, contact me, contact our producer, and we'll be here for you guys for sure.
You got it. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right. Oh, man. I can't believe, you know, that they did that.
This is really informative. I enjoyed this interview. It's like, wow. Yeah.
And the thing is
and
Oreo.
It's just cookies.
Yeah. And Oreo is making enough. Listen to this. The number one brand in the U.S. right now basically is Oreo. Okay. Sales are $661.2 million. A year just for that one cookie. The Oreo Double Stuff was number four in sales with $260.8 million. And then there you go. And then the Oreo Thins, because you know us fat people want to try and keep thin, so we think the Thins are going to help. That was number six in the nation with $172 million.
They're cashing in,
so they're making enough. You know, there is, you know, big enough, there's a big piece of pie out there. There is room for the original Hydrox to get out there and,
to
do it.
Yeah.
But to deliberately hide.
These companies don't care about what the people think anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and people just keep buying it because that's what's there.
Well, because it's the only thing they're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the double stuff, the this, the pink, the peppermint, the chocolate, the double chocolate, and the, you know, albuterol or whatever, you know, is going to be out there for those who have asthma. You know, the albuterol Oreo, you know. But, I mean, this is the original cookie. Oreo were the copycats, you bastards. You were the copycats. You couldn't think of this on your own. No. You had a copy. Hydrox. The original.
Yeah.
You guys didn't come into existence until 1912, you bastards. They were 1908. That's 4 years. 4 years ahead of them. See? So now you're hiding stuff. But no, I mean, I'd love to help them out in any way because I mean, they are such a good cookie. I love the cookie. That's a cookie. It's a good cookie. That's a happy
Shut up
cookie.
And take my money.
Yes, exactly. Give me my cookies. All right.
Well, it was fun talking.
It was.
Yeah, I did a little research on my own. It is the Leaf Company did do trading cards and stuff originally back in the... They started in the 40s, the Leaf family.
Uh-huh.
And also, he mentioned the Licht family.
Mm-hmm.
They're candy confectioners. And one of them runs a plant in Valencia. that makes Walnettos.
Ooh.
Which is my favorite candy of all time.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Should we call Ilya back then? And
yeah, Ilya, can you hook us up with Lisa Lick there?
Yeah.
She seems to be.
Can Steve be a guard there?
I could be a guard there. Yeah. Boy, I'd be a fat guard.
Oh, well, that was a wonderful interview. That really was a good interview. Real quick, because we're on limited time right now. We lost somebody recently, a wonderful, wonderful comedian, SNL member, did stand up on his own, smart, intelligent, and died way too young, 61 years old. And of course, we're talking about the great Norm Macdonald, and hid cancer from us for 10 years. Little stuck up man. But, you know, he still went out and performed nonetheless, you know, worked on his material and everything, still entertained us. So we've got about a little 5-minute thing here with him. And ironically, talking about the whole coronavirus. So let's see what Norm has to say about this.
I wasn't going to talk about the coronavirus. But on the way here, I got really ill. Because I ate a cherry pie. Like, I got a cherry pie from Bristol Farms, and I ate it, and then the car was going weird, and I was like, oh. And then he turned on the radio, Jeremy, and then all the fucking news was like, the guy was like, well, there's been so far 11 cases, 50! 200! I don't feel good. You know, you're like, oh. This is not good. I feel like I'm in a fucking middle of a Stephen King novel or something. What is this? So my plan is just to not die. You know, survive long enough where they find a cure. You know, some people will have to die. But finally they'll find a cure for me. And then I'll thank all of it. It's funny how Big Pharma is so evil till now. It's like, what is it, $200 a pill? Yeah, that's good. That's fine. I'll take it. Give me all you got. But and now I'm sniffling, and I don't know what that is. Could be the cocaine, I guess. I'm so nervous about this goddamn, and then so I take cocaine, you know, and then that makes the anxiety even more crippling. It's funny that we all now know how we're gonna die. It's just a matter of what order at this point. I went to the Costco and the fucking everybody trying to buy shit and everything. Like the end of the world. And I'm like, anything? And they go, you gotta make yours. I'm like, I don't know how to make Purell. Oh, I can't touch my fucking face. Remember the good old days when washing your hands didn't take 3 hours? Like ABCD. Just take me now. So the mind never wanders too far from, you know, like I'll be talking about all kinds of horse shit up here tonight, but every moment I'll be thinking of this disease. Just to let you know. Just getting away from you guys a little bit more. But it comes at a good time, this... where we're all quarantined, because we know how to live like that, right? We got our fucking magic phones and computers and everything. We don't need no fucking people. It was the last step between us and happiness anyway, we're people. Got the TV and shit. Fucking more interesting people than anybody I know. Listen to fucking First Take and spend my last moments on Earth with Max Kellerman. God damn, I can taste the baby laxative in this fucking cocaine. Rolling down the back of my throat. But I'm old anyway, you know, so if I die, it won't be as much of a tragedy. I'm 68 years young, I like to say. Yeah. You get old and you start worrying anyway, you know. Forget the coronavirus, like that's possible. I said I wasn't going to mention it. I was talking to the manager. He's like, nobody wants to hear about the fucking coronavirus. They come here to not hear about the coronavirus. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But it was a good idea you made. It was a good choice tonight to come out and sit beside total strangers. At least I'm out of here. I can run, you know? At least I can flee when I see it.
Oh, God. That actually was pretty good. That was pretty funny. That was really funny. He's definitely going to be missed, man. I mean, he was one of those that delivered a certain way, and, you know.
Yeah, he had his style, and a lot of people just loved it. Just mm-hmm. loved his deadpan, dry humor, and, you know, just talking about things naturally and not trying to make them funny in a sense.
Right. Yeah.
He was really funny. He
kind of reminds me of was it Robin Wright? I think it is, where he kind of does the same thing.
He's laid back about it, and like, you know,
One of my favorite jokes that he talks about, where he goes, "Yeah, I went into this men's store the other day, and they came up to me, and, you know, they asked me, can we help you, sir?" He goes, "Yeah. Do you have anything I would like?" I just left it there. Yeah. You know. He goes, "Well, what size are you, sir?" He goes, "Do you have anything in extra medium?"
Extra medium.
Extra medium. It's just like medium, just a little bit extra, you know. So, yeah, I love Robin Wright, too. And Norm Macdonald had that, but I think with a little bit more oof to him underneath it. So, but he's definitely going to be missed. Definitely going to be missed overall. So, you know what? That seems like it's going to kind of wrap up the show for us today. We want to definitely thank Ilya Kosoff for joining us and letting us know about this. Oh, you know what? Let's do something we really should do, which is our Stranger Prints, because they are part of our sponsorship.
Right. Well, you know. Oh, do we have a theme song?
Yeah, we still got the theme song here.
We got the theme song.
There we go.
Well, you know, with things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Yeah, well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise, companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, they're... Where does one go for printing merchandise? Simply go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Stranger Prints is the official merchandise for Your Weekly Dose podcast. They do all of our shirts that we give away. Yes, we actually give away shirts, but that's not all they do.
They do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs, banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs and merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com, and tell them Your Weekly Dose sent you, because, damn it, we just did.
Or Pranger's Trints.
Or Pranger's Trints.
Pranger Trints. That Pranger works, Trints. Too. You can Google
exactly.
either one.
Yeah, and go get some Hydrox.
Yeah, get some hydrox.
There you go. All righty, guys. Well, that is the show for us today. So we hope you enjoyed it. We know we enjoyed it all as well. There's a couple more things we wanted to get to, but, you know, that's...
That was a good interview.
That Mr. Costa, he's a little talky kind of a guy.
Enlightening.
But I loved it, though. It was really awesome.
Cookie Wars.
Yeah. And go out. Ask people for Hydrox. Like you, Indiana. Get Hydrox cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody in Maryland. Virginia. You know. Delaware.
Delaware.
Ask for Hydrox cookies at your local supermarket.
And arm yourself with an Astro Pop if they're being hidden.
Absolutely. Right. Get all that stuff.
Make threats. I got my Astro Pop here.
Yeah. Get your fart candy, too. Those are really good.
This aisle, people won't be able to come down this aisle if you don't put the Hydrox out.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, follow us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can follow me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva, on Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
And if you want to follow me on any of my social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, also, guys, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio. All of our past shows are on 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Fridays. And don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you. Help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, people you know in PTA meetings.
People you know in the PTA and the YMCA. Tell people you haven't talked to in years.
Yeah.
Tell them.
We dare you. See you next week, guys.
I forgot about that part. Oh, well. Goodbye, world.
Take care, guys. Be good.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.